All right, so are you ready to like really get into an inspector calls?
Let's do it.
Specifically, we're diving deep into how this play tackles capitalism versus socialism. I know a lot of you are probably studying this in school right now
Oh, yeah, it's a classic.
and maybe struggling a bit with, getting those deeper meanings that are going to help you ace those exam questions.
Absolutely.
We're going to try and help you out with that today.
Yeah, I think what's so cool about an inspector calls is it's like this puzzle
Yes.
where each character and each quote is like a little piece that fits into Priestley's bigger message about society.
Exactly. It's not just a family drama, right?
No, definitely not. It's like social commentary, but he's made it into this thriller.
It's so clever the way he does that. And I think, honestly, that's what trips a lot of students up is they get so caught up in like, oh my gosh, who did it? What's going on?
Yeah, the drama of it all.
The drama. That they miss the deeper meaning behind all these characters that Priestley's created. I mean, it's almost like he's created these characters to specifically embody different aspects of this whole capitalism versus socialism debate.
Yeah, for sure. And it becomes more about what these characters represent than what
Yes.
they actually do. He's
Yes.
using them as like mouthpieces
Yes,
to give
Jess.
different perspectives on responsibility,
Right.
wealth, and social justice.
Okay, so let's jump right in. Let's start with a character that just like screams capitalism at you, Mr. Burling.
Oh, yeah, he's a great example.
This guy's just like oozing capitalist ideals. I mean, the guy is obsessed with lower costs and higher prices.
That's his motto.
I know.
It's more than just about business, though. It
Right.
kind of sums up his whole view of the
Oh,
world.
100%.
It's all about competition. Profit comes first,
Yeah.
people, second.
He even says, doesn't he, that his own interests are the same as the interests of capital.
Yes. And Priestley makes him this almost caricature of a capitalist businessman, like so over the top,
Yeah.
so that the audience can't miss the point.
It's so true. And he's so blinded by his own success. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like completely oblivious to the suffering of those around him who are less fortunate. I
Totally.
mean, remember how he just dismisses this whole idea of community
Yeah.
and social responsibility?
Nonsense.
Nonsense, he says. It's kind of chilling when you think about it, how detached he is from like the real world consequences of his actions.
And that's the point. Priestley wants to expose that.
Yes.
By making Burling so unsympathetic, he's asking us to look at what unchecked capitalism can do.
Right.
Is it ethical?
Yeah.
Is it sustainable? Can we really just have this every man for himself philosophy?
And then enters the inspector. This
Yeah.
like mysterious force that comes in and it just throws a wrench into Mr. Burling's carefully constructed world.
He really shakes things up, doesn't he?
He does. It's like he's this force of justice holding a mirror up to them
Yeah.
and forcing them to confront what they've done.
I think it's really interesting that he's not a traditional police officer.
No, he's not.
He's got this otherworldly quality. He knows all their secrets.
He knows everything.
It makes you think, is he even real?
Yeah.
He's more interested in their moral responsibility than their legal guilt.
Oh, absolutely. And the way he just challenges Mr. Burling head on, that
Yes.
line, we are members of one body, we are responsible for each other. It's like an attack
Totally.
on Mr. Burling's every man for himself.
Yeah, it's Priestley
Yes.
using the inspector to kind of say what he thinks.
Exactly. And I mean, he wrote this in 1945,
Think about the context.
right after the war, when
Exactly.
socialist ideas were gaining a lot of traction.
He's really pushing for a different way, a
Yes.
more humane and equitable way of doing things.
And he's so good at just dismantling all of Mr. Burling's arguments.
No, he doesn't hold
He
back.
doesn't. It's brilliant.
He exposes the hypocrisy, the
Yes.
flaws in Burling's thinking.
It's amazing. And then you have Eva Smith, who's like the silent,
Yes.
tragic figure in all of this.
At the heart of it all.
She pays the ultimate price for their actions.
She's a symbol, isn't she?
She is. She's a symbol of the human cost of capitalism.
Yeah. And it's interesting that Priestley doesn't give her more of a voice.
That's true.
We never actually meet her.
No.
And I think it's because she represents all the people who are marginalized by this system,
Yeah.
exploited. The source material even describes her as a disposable piece in the capitalist machinery.
It's true. I mean, she's valued when they need her for labor,
Yeah.
but then discarded when she's no longer useful.
Exactly.
It's brutal.
It is.
And her name, Eva Smith.
So ordinary.
It's so ordinary. It could be anyone.
Anyone. And that's deliberate. He's saying this isn't unique.
Right?
This is happening to so many working class women.
Yeah. And that makes her story even more tragic.
It does. It becomes this powerful indictment of capitalism. You see the dark side of it.
You do.
The real consequences of putting profit before people.
Okay, so we've got this dynamic. Mr. Burling.
Yeah.
Representing this unfettered capitalism.
Uncaring capitalism.
Yeah, exactly. The inspector, who's like the embodiment of this socialist alternative.
Offering a different way.
And Eva Smith, the tragic victim.
Caught in the middle.
Caught in the middle. It's like they're all on Priestley's chessboard.
He's using them to make a point.
He is.
A really powerful one.
About the social and economic forces that are shaping their world. But we haven't even talked about Sheila, Eric, Gerald.
Oh, they're fascinating too.
I know. And how they respond to the inspector.
They complicate things.
They really do. So stay tuned, because in the next part, we're going to unpack all of that and how they fit into this puzzle.
Can't wait. It's really interesting how Priestley uses the younger generation, you know, Sheila and Eric, to explore this idea of change. Like, can they break free from what their parents taught them?
It's like they're totally torn between those capitalist values that their parents have drilled into them.
Right.
And then the inspector comes in with this whole, like, social responsibility thing.
Yeah, they're wrestling with their conscience. It's a real struggle for them.
It is.
To figure out where they stand.
I think Sheila's transformation is just, like, fascinating to watch.
Oh, it's a big one.
She goes from this, like, kind of shallow, materialistic girl.
Right. At the start, you think, ugh, typical rich girl.
Yeah, exactly. And then she really has this, like, profound change.
As the play goes on.
As the play goes on. I mean, remember how horrified she is when she realizes that she was involved in getting Eva Smith fired?
From that department store?
Yeah, and she immediately takes responsibility. She's like, it was my fault.
Yeah, that's huge.
It is. Unlike her parents, who are like, nope, not me. Blame someone else.
Denial.
Total denial.
Mm-hmm.
But she owns it, which I think shows...
It's a hope, isn't it?
It is. It shows that even people who benefit from this system can change.
Yeah, they can develop empathy.
Yes.
See things from a different perspective.
Yeah, it's like Priestley is saying that change is possible.
Especially with the younger generation.
Yeah, who aren't so stuck in those old ways of thinking.
Right. They haven't been completely corrupted by the system yet.
And that line she has... These girls aren't cheap labor, they're people.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
It's such a slap in the face to her father.
It is.
Who sees workers as just...
cogs in the machine.
Exactly. Just replaceable parts.
Yeah. But Sheila's starting to see past all that.
She is.
She's recognizing their humanity.
And she's willing to stand up to her parents.
Which is a big deal in that kind of family.
Huge. So I think she represents hope, you know, for the future.
A more compassionate generation.
But then you have Eric.
Ooh, Eric. He's a tough one.
He's troubled.
Yeah.
He's got so much guilt, shame, and I think he also feels powerless.
Trapped,
yes. And his relationship with Eva Smith is just so...
Messy,
and it reveals so much about him.
Yeah, I mean, he takes advantage of her.
He does.
He's got that social power, that position.
And she's vulnerable.
But he is racked with guilt afterwards.
He is. Unlike his father, who just doesn't care.
Yeah, Eric cares.
He does.
Deep down, he knows he's done wrong.
That line, he says, I was in that state when a chap easily turns nasty.
Ooh, that's a powerful one.
I know. It tells us so much.
It does.
About him recognizing that he did something bad. And when he finds out about his mother.
Yeah.
And what she did to Eva.
Oh, he's furious.
Furious, he calls her out.
On her hypocrisy.
Yeah.
And lack of compassion.
Like, he's the one who sees the system's cruelty the most clearly.
He understands the damage it does to those who are vulnerable.
So we have Sheila, who's like, I'm going to change. I'm going to be better.
She's actively trying to be a better person.
And then Eric, who's kind of stuck in this
cycle of guilt.
Yes. Struggling with his part in it all. And then there's Gerald.
Gerald, the fiancé, he's an interesting one.
He's harder to place.
He is. I mean, he's from a wealthy family. Mm-hmm. He fits in with the Burlings, but...
Yeah, but there's something else there.
At first, he seems like a good guy.
Yeah.
Charming, maybe even a little progressive.
But then the inspector starts digging.
Oh, yeah.
And we see that he was involved with Eva Smith, too.
He had an affair with her.
And I think it's interesting how he tries to justify it.
How does he justify it?
He says something like, well, I didn't put her in that position just so I could sleep with her.
So it's not his fault?
It's classic blame shifting.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Like, it's not my fault, it's the system's fault.
A very convenient way of looking at it.
It is. But then he has these moments where he does seem to feel bad.
Like, he knows it wasn't right.
Exactly. And he even admits that Eva wasn't treated fairly.
So he's conflicted.
He's totally conflicted.
Yeah.
It's like he wants to do the right thing.
So he's stuck.
But he's part of this world, this system that benefits him.
He represents a lot of people, I think.
He does.
People who know things need to change. Yeah.
But they don't know what to do about
it. Or they're scared to rock the boat.
Exactly.
Because change can be scary.
Especially when you're comfortable.
Exactly.
So we've got Sheila.
Who wants change.
Eric, who's grappling with guilt.
And Gerald, who's kind of on the fence.
Yeah, he's a bit of a maybe.
And I think each of them adds this whole other layer to how Priestley looks at capitalism.
And how individuals respond to it.
Yes.
It's not black and white.
No, it's complex. But we can't forget Mrs. Burling.
Oh my goodness, Mrs. Burling.
The queen of the status quo.
She does not want things to change, not one bit.
She's like a rock, you know.
Solid, unmoving.
An inspector reveals all this stuff and she's just like,
nope, don't care.
This doesn't apply to me.
She's determined to protect your privilege.
Yes. And it's infuriating, but it's also really revealing.
About how some people just don't get it.
Remember that line she says, girls of that class.
Ugh, it makes me shudder just thinking about it.
It shows her prejudice.
Her complete inability to see Eva as a human being deserving of empathy.
She doesn't see them as equals.
No. And then she uses her position on that charity committee.
To deny Eva help.
I know. Talk about hypocrisy.
Yeah.
You're on a charity committee, but you're upholding a system that creates the very problems you're supposed to be solving.
Priestley's really highlighting that, isn't he?
He is. It's like he's saying, look, without empathy, without challenging our own prejudices, we can't change anything.
Mrs. Burling is like a warning sign.
Yes, she's what happens when privilege goes unchecked.
And you refuse to acknowledge any wrongdoing.
It's terrifying.
It is. It reminds us that real change isn't just about changing laws.
Right.
It's about changing attitudes.
Yes. And right. So we have all these characters.
They're all so different.
So different, but they're all part of this bigger picture.
Of a society that's on the edge of change.
Yeah. And Priestley doesn't just tell us about capitalism and socialism.
He shows us
how these ideologies actually play out in people's lives,
in their choices,
their struggles. And I think that's what makes this play so powerful.
He makes us think about our own beliefs,
yeah,
and how we contribute to the system.
But before we move on, we have to talk about the ending.
Oh yes, that ending,
like that phone call at the end,
changes everything.
Throws everything we thought we knew into question. It's like Priestley drops a bomb on us and the Burlings with that phone call.
He does. Right when you think you've got it all figured out, bam.
Yeah, it's like, wait, was the inspector even real?
Or was he just a product of their guilt? Did they actually learn anything?
Exactly. Like, even if they don't get in trouble with the law, has they really changed?
That's the question, isn't it?
It is. And I think that's what makes this ending so unsettling.
It is. And it's so clever of Priestley to do that.
It is. Because he could have wrapped it all up neatly.
A nice little bow.
Yeah, like the inspector gives his final speech, everyone feels bad, and then we all move on. But he doesn't do that.
He doesn't. And it makes you think history could repeat itself.
Oh, totally.
Even if they cover up what happened to Eva Smith.
Yeah.
There are going to be other vulnerable people out there.
That's
going to
happen again.
Exactly. So it's not really about whether the inspector was real or not.
Oh.
It's about the message he brings.
Yes, that we're all connected.
Yeah.
And we have to take responsibility for one another.
That our actions have consequences.
Yes, and that those consequences...
Yeah, they don't just affect us.
No.
They affect everyone.
And it makes you think about your own life, your own choices. Like, what kind of person am I?
Am I, like, the Burlings ignoring the problems around me?
Or am I trying to make things better? Like, what would the inspector think of me?
Oh, I love that. That's such a good question to ask yourself.
Right. It's like Priestley's holding up this mirror to the audience and saying, take a look at yourself.
What are you going to do about it?
And it's so relevant, even today. Like, think about all the social and economic problems we're facing.
The inequality.
Yeah. The injustice. It's like Priestley's play is still speaking to us.
Warning.
Warning us, yes. That these issues haven't gone away.
And they won't unless we do something about it.
And that's what I think makes Inspector Calls such a brilliant play.
It stays with you.
It does. It makes you think. Long after you've finished reading it or watching it, you can't just put it down and forget about it.
It's not a comfortable play, is it?
No, not at all.
It makes you uncomfortable. But that's a good thing.
It is. Because it forces you to confront these difficult questions. And I think a lot of students get frustrated because they want a neat answer.
A simple solution.
Yeah, like who was the inspector?
Was he real?
What does it all mean? But the ambiguity is part of what makes it so great.
It's what keeps us talking about it, debating it.
Yes. And it forces us to, like, think for ourselves, to come up with our own interpretations.
And to keep thinking about those big questions even after the play is over.
And remember, he wrote this play in 1945.
Right after World War II.
When the world was in chaos.
People were looking for answers.
Yeah. So that open ending?
It's not about giving up. It's about saying the struggle continues.
We have to keep fighting for a better world. And that's such a powerful message.
It is. And it's up to each of us to figure out what our role is in that fight.
Exactly. So to all of you studying in inspector calls, don't get bogged down in finding the right answers.
There might not be one.
Yeah, exactly. Embrace the uncertainty.
Explore the different interpretations.
Use it to spark your own critical thinking.
And your own passion for making the world a better place.
Because the real inspection begins when we step out of the classroom.
And into the real world.
Exactly. So keep questioning, keep exploring, and keep diving deep. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everyone.